Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics.
Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today, we are recording live from the Family Enrichment Conference in San Antonio, Texas, and we have two very special guests with us today, Gerard Mijon, founder and president and CEO of Natural Womanhood, and Jackie Aguilar, director of education, and they will be talking with us about their organization, Natural Womanhood, as well as the sharing the importance of fertility awareness. So thank you so much, both of you, for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Excited.
Happy to be here. We're excited. So it's so fun to be in person and get to chat with you live. So can you just tell us a little bit about your organization, Natural Womanhood, and what kind of inspired you to found it, and just go into a little detail about that?
All right. Okay. So Natural Womanhood exists because we realize that there is a big knowledge gap about not just fertility awareness and natural family planning, but just even body literacy and good ways of helping women in women's health that respect their dignity. And so what happened is I grew up Catholic and left the church and came back in 2007. And when I did, my wife, who is not Catholic, was reading into it, and she showed me. She said, "Hey, Gerard, you actually, we're not supposed to use contraception. If you're Catholic, right?"
Yeah.
And so that's what's kind of the beginning. Looked into it, discovered natural family planning, learned about the theology of the body at that time. Actually, Christopher West came to San Antonio that year and spoke, and it was just a lot of amazing knowledge and discoveries for us. But one thing that touched me was I started to meet couples who had been using natural family planning from the beginning of their marriage. And I could tell there was something really special in their relationship. There was this trust, this confidence, this mutual communication. And I wish I had that. And what I also realized that there was really a lot of poor information online, a lot of misinformation about natural family planning. And so my background is marketing, nonprofit management. And I thought, we need a campaign. We need something to change the perception. And so that was the original idea. And there are some really good organizations that teach natural family planning, but there was this lack of marketing. And the idea was, how could we do that in a way that is for everyone? So it's not religious. It's really looking at evidence-based facts and information for the general public to really change the perception.
Great. Yeah, and you mentioned this confusing, kind of unclear aspect of natural family planning. Can you go into a little bit more about what was kind of just a confusing or unclear aspects? Because I know that some people, you mentioned you're Catholic and then didn't understand that NFP was a thing, and what are kind of those things that are misconceptions maybe?
Yes, yeah, I could close that, and Jackie can speak to that as well. But what I saw was that even Catholic didn't trust the church in that area, because there's a lack of formation, you know, in this area, not just the science, but in terms of theology. And so a lot of people think, well, it's not scientific, it's not medical, it's just the church trying to push something on us, right? Control our marriage and stuff. And they want us to have a bunch of kids. And they also the perception that this is, you know, the RISM method, and it doesn't work. And, a lot of doctors still think that it is, right? So there's this misinformation that we had to fight. So those were, the first thing. It's like, how do we first establish that this is actually a very scientific, very good for health? And second is that, if people really have a serious need to avoid pregnancy, it is effective. There are very well established methods and ways to learn it that can be very effective.
I think that the misconceptions a lot of times, like you say, poor formation, but we're formed a lot of times just by the world and what we get from our secular education in our school. At least that was my experience. So, I was definitely the only way to be responsible about having kids was to use birth control to like shut off that whole part of you when you didn't want kids, and then you could stop taking it when you wanted to have kids, and that was the way you controlled your fertility. Mm-hmm. And I never was taught anything out of that, even though I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And how would you say the landscape kind of has changed since you started this work? How has the landscape of fertility awareness changed, either for the better for fertility awareness, or do we still see the contraceptive mentality going on? What would you?
Yeah, I mean, on a broad scale, we could see that a lot of women are more and more have more issues with birth control, right? So when I started, we started Natural Womanhood Incorporated in 2012. So at the time, I was reading books and articles by women who are not at all Catholic that were really resisting and finally acknowledging the risks and side effects of birth control. And really, that's a big part of what we do, is to continue to really show the science that establishes birth control side effects are real, that they are underreported. And we have probably the largest on our website, Natural Womanhood, the largest section of research and studies that establish what those side effects are, such as, autoimmune disease. Like, you never hear about that, but that's a big, contraception is a big factor. All the issues with mental health that are happening with birth control. Where we are now, I think there's, that has continued to grow. There's also much more accessibility in some way because of apps. So, if you take like an app like Flow, which I don't recommend, by the way, but there's another reason. But they're tracking apps, right? And those apps have made the idea of tracking your cycle more popular. It's not always we could talk about Flow a little bit, other apps that are maybe not exactly natural family planning the way that should be practiced, and they have also messaging that really I want to warn parents to really help their daughters, if they use an app, to choose something that's that they're comfortable with. So anyway, that's another story. But anyway, so yes, there is more openness. I think there is in the church, through the work of theology of the body, more openness, more interest, little by little, but it's still the battle is not won. There's still a lot to do.
I think you also see the health aspect of it. So many people are trying to eat cleaner and eat healthier, and then they start looking to other aspects of their life and say, oh, well, where else are chemicals coming into my body? Through my hygiene products, through these chemical pills that I'm taking. And so then just for purely secular, health reasons, they decide that they want to find something different just because they realize that they're putting these artificial chemicals in their body that they don't really want or like.
Right. Wow. And I love that you mentioned that too, because you had mentioned the Flow app and all those things, the apps that might encourage one way of, tracking or whatever.
Yeah.
But you said language was very key, which I think is an interesting point to make, because do you find that, even in the midst of this kind of more fertility awareness, that people still use it like contraceptively, and that's kind of where the struggle is with those?
Well, that's a great question. There's a big debate about how we name these methods within the industry, actually, within the Catholic communities. What is it? Fertility awareness, fertility appreciation, natural family planning. The original name that was even established and recognized at the beginning by the World Health Organization was natural family planning, right? And then that organization changed it to fertility awareness method or BAS method. So it's it's still kind of the terminology. I think for people, whether you call it FAM, whether you call it NFP, is really to look for methods that are aligned with your values, right? So if you're a couple, look at the organization or Terry Story to learn from, right? We don't promote one organization, we promote a number of organizations, but those organizations that we refer people to are aligned with our values as well, right? So that's very important. But yes, you could use, couples now use those apps to avoid pregnancy, although they're more, I think they're more popular for people who want to achieve pregnancy, which is a very interesting, very important factor, right? So fertility awareness or NFP is really also a method to achieve pregnancy, and we tend to forget that. But couples who use those apps often use it still with the contraceptive mentality, you know, because they're not formed to the Catholic values.
Yeah. I'm curious, I'd love to get kind of deeper into like the woman's fertility side of things. Are there any misconceptions just about a woman's health? Like, I think you mentioned there's a lot of side effects to contraception, and but women probably don't just assume that's the issue when they have health issues. Is there anything else about women's health that you could inform our audience on, just that will help them kind of understand it's a big part of your life?
From the very beginning of when we start puberty, a lot of times we're not either, like, our moms a lot of times didn't get this education either, so they don't have it to pass down to us. I mean, that was my case. And I see that a lot with the women we work with in college. They never got the full story of their cycle. They don't understand how to identify ovulation. They don't understand that what their body looks like in a state of health, right? Like, we are fertile. We are capable of conceiving. We are ovulating when we're in a state of health, right? And our body gives us biomarkers to let us know that things are working within the normal parameters of how they should be, right? Our cycle length is a certain length. It's somewhere between 26 and 32 days, right? Our bleeding is somewhere between 3 and 7 days. We're not bleeding too excessively, where we're bleeding through, you know, a pad and having to change it every hour for several hours in a row. You know, that's too much bleeding. So we can use the information that we get from observing our bodies to then have a proper understanding of where our health should be and what's outside that range of normal, so that if we need help, we can know to seek it. You know, just like sticking a thermometer in your mouth and realizing, oh, I have a temperature. I need help in some way, right? It's the same concept, you know, that's what we call cycle charting, would be, you know, making those observations on a daily basis so that you have that information to be empowered about your own health and realize when, okay, I'm not meant to suffer. I'm not meant to have these super debilitating cramps and nausea that keep me home on certain days of my cycle. Like, that's not normal, right? And so, you know, whereas some girls will say, oh, you know, that you're a girl, deal with it. That's the way, it was that way for me and it was that way for your grandma. So it's, you know, it's just part of it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, there were probably some undiagnosed issues with your grandma and your mom that just, you know, that they assumed were normal because nobody told them different.
And I think to add to that, it's really important what Jackie just explained, because the way we've done women's health in the past 50, 60 years is we create a situation where women are dependent on the healthcare system and lose control, so that, you know, you have these issues and you get on the pill, right? And so the pill takes over, and so that means you're dependent on your prescriptions, and then when you get on the pill, a lot of young women do, several things happen. First of all is that there are side effects. So you might have to get on another pill, which is antidepressant, for example, or anti-anxiety. You also, young women who use the pill are statistically, you know, it's a really good study on that shows that they are 3 times more likely to have an STD, so that they're more likely to be sexually active, and they are more likely to have 10 times more likely to have an abortion. And these are not very known, and this is really the problem that we see, is that, you know, young women are taken into this funnel that leads to, you know, other issues and other care that are needed because of their, you know, this use of contraception. So if we can change that paradigm and help young moms teach their daughters, you know, and learn how to stay healthy and learn how to, you know, take care of the cycle, and there are ways to restore a good cycle without using the pill, then this young woman will flourish. And we can speak more about that. It's really amazing, actually, when young women start owning their fertility, owning their cycle, understanding what's going on, it changes many things. And so that's, you know, we are thinking about changing the way women's health is done. And I think this is that time, puberty and the first, you know, 10 years following is critical.
That's great. Actually, I'd love to go into that a little bit deeper about when to start, because I know that you had mentioned when you find issues or something that's not right with your daughter or even you, it's like you go to the doctor and the doctor puts you on the pill. How can you avoid that? How do you go about changing that, just kind of that cycle, like you said, that funnel?
One tool that Natural Womanhood specifically we've developed to put in the hands of moms is our video online course called Period Genius. And it comes with these amazing PDF guides. So not only in the videos do we talk to the girls about, this is naturally what's happening in your body and this is its purpose. And this is how, these natural processes in your body allow you to thrive and be healthy and grow in a really healthy way. And you produce estrogen and that also fortifies your bones and your heart health and your immune system. So yay, good for you. You're making estrogen, right? I mean, so it's just really, one, giving the girls a positive perspective on themselves, right? But then also, like, moms, here's this PDF guide that we're going to give you that talks about how to see a doctor. So when would your daughter's symptoms be concerning where you know, okay, they're out of the range of normal, my daughter needs help. Okay, then how do I find a doctor that's going to respect her dignity and it's going to look at her holistically as a whole person and not just symptom manage, but figure out a way to make her healthy again. And then we also offer just kind of the very basic, home remedy kind of things like, how's your sleep? How's your stress level? How's your eating habits? How's your exercise? Those are just easy things that we can totally take control of and we can improve that can affect our cycle symptoms and our health too. So we throw all of that into like one little packaged little educational tool. And that's what we have to offer to moms. And I think it's beautiful. We're seeing some wonderful responses from the moms and daughters that have used it, just on how it's changing their conversation, changing the way they view themselves, even the moms, and really setting the girls up for the kind of a lifetime of health and confidence.
I love that. And changing the conversation too about the moms are involved now, and that's really beautiful.
That's very important. I think a lot of the issues that we see is because moms and daughters don't speak enough. Mm-hmm. And we see that when we work with college students, that when they speak about their experience of puberty and how the lack of communication, even in it's not a judgmental family, it's just not mom was not helped, was not prepared, maybe had some issues herself, and so there was no conversation, and it's very difficult for young women to not have good communication there, and it's conversely when moms and daughters talk, it's really reinforcing, and it's mom now is a go-to person for bigger questions, right? And that's really important, that we want that communication in a very intimate area, kind of scary area, very personal, to happen, to be enabled to be empowered between mom and daughter. The other thing too, and I maybe want to bring that up too, is that we're talking about ways to restore the cycle, to help the cycle, right? There's a whole body of science, and maybe some of you listeners know about it, but I think many more people need to know. It's called restorative reproductive medicine. And the way this body of knowledge and medical protocols, if you want, have been developed in the past 30, 40 years is thinking about what is the root cause of the issues that we see in the cycle. So irregular cycle, cramps, all these other things that are happening, symptoms are caused by a dysfunction. So these doctors and researchers have developed ways to understand what those causes are and address them early on. Today, if the average time for a young woman to be diagnosed with endometriosis, which is a very common issue, but 5 to 10% of women have it, it takes 8 to 10 years. Okay, so with this approach, you can actually diagnose it and really have effective ways of treating it with those methods. So NAPRO technology by Creighton, you probably heard of that. FEM is another approach, FEM Health, that provided neo fertility. So there are groups, and we have all the information on our website, because it's really important that, again, women of all ages, young women, women who are married, later in life, that they know that the pill is not the solution. It just covers the issues, but there are ways to get holistic treatment.
Yeah, I think like that's a misconception too, is, you know, we think, oh, we are doing something about it. She does feel better because her symptoms are being alleviated. So this is, you know, so what's wrong with this approach? Why can't, you know, why are you discouraging young girls from maybe getting relief, you know? And it's not, but again, like that comes from a kind of a false premise that all we need to do is just like manage women's symptoms and kind of, and suppress her natural hormone production and not consider the repercussions of that. And whereas if you're coming from a premise of, I want holistically for her to be well in all aspects, you know, okay, well then we can't suppress a natural function in her body that'll have a chain reaction of negative consequences to the other parts of her body, you know, her digestive system, her endocrine system as a whole, her metabolism, her stress response, all that stuff will be affected, right? And we need to find a way to bring her to a state of health, you know? And so it's kind of, that's the difference in the paradigm of how a woman is being approached.
Yeah. And laying, you mentioned like laying the foundation for young girls to discuss with their moms. I'm curious how, like you mentioned men too, just how can men be involved in just assisting, I guess not so detailed in it, but like just the idea of like, it's not just the woman's job to do everything on her own in that sense of like,
yeah.
As you said, when your wife was like, oh, we should probably be learning more about this NFP, like you took ownership of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what your thoughts are, how to help men to see that as well.
Yeah. Well, so our role, first of all, is to be supportive of our wives in this area. And the first thing is to be very aware of the side effects of birth control. I think a lot of men, when they actually look into it, realize, wow, I don't want my wife to be on that. And I think that's really the first step. Another step is to be very attentive to, like, you know, in the question of the daughter. So we, you know, if it's a single dad, we have, you know, program, they can use our program, right?
Yeah.
So because it's videos, it will give them, you know, and they may not have the same level of communication with their daughters, but still, you know, I mean, I have a daughter and she never had trouble speaking about personal things with me,
mm-hmm.
because I'm attentive and I'm not afraid to hear those things. So I think that who learn charting, that who are, who do NFP, are become very comfortable, confident, and that they can help their wives, of course, because they again have an open communication about it, and their daughters and their sons too, by helping them, showing them, you know, what it is to be a man.
I absolutely agree that, you know, we did use the birth control pill at the beginning of our marriage. We didn't know any better. We were, I was just applying what I learned in school.
Yeah.
And we had a really negative experience with it, like my health wise and our just our relationship struggles. I could go into it later, but anyway, then going from that to learning NFP and like watching the transition in our marriage and the improvement in communication. I mean, like we really saw like the benefits of, and the contrast between shutting off that part of our relationship and then introducing that part of our relationship like back into our marriage, and how it just invigorated our intimacy and like, and required us to talk to each other about all these different aspects of what our hopes and dreams were, because we were now planning our family on a monthly basis and what that looked like. And yes, my husband had to really learn, which I'm sure, you know, anyone else who, you know, who I was in light of my different phases of my cycle. And now now that we have teenage girls, you know, I'm seeing him take that knowledge and apply it to his fathering of them. And he knows not to maybe poke them or pick a fight at a certain time of the month, you know, but like to keep the peace in our house and maybe approach them at a later time when they're more ready to hear those conversations or more open and receptive to what he has to say to them. And he knows how to like love on them and comfort them when they need that extra like assurance. And so I mean, to me, that's so beautiful, you know, that they're getting to experience that, that tenderness from him that I've experienced like for all of our years of marriage, you know, and that they're going to look for that maybe in the relationships that they go out and find in the world. That's great.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that.
I love it.
I know. That's so cool. And I think sometimes men can be a little scared of it because it's a little daunting, but I think that's a very gentle and very realistic way of being able to approach your children. And just like you said, you were very open and there's no fear there.
Right.
I think that's very powerful.
Yeah.
What age would you say parents should start discussing kind of this, because you have obviously a puberty, so there's obviously you have to have a discussion then. But do you, would you say earlier, later, like what, like how old do you think it just kind of?
I think traditionally it was seen as like, you know, you have the birds and the bees talk, like the talk, you know. And I think that we're learning more that just like with any other topic in the world, like the way we learn to read, we learn the ABCs first and then we build upon that, and now we're reading chapter books and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That our education on love and relationships and sexuality and our bodies should be very similar, where it's like it's an ongoing conversation, you know. So when your children are young, I mean, Grace, our editor, she gives such a great example of like, you know, her toddlers follow her into the bathroom. I mean, we all, I don't know, as moms, we know that, right? You don't have any privacy.
Yeah.
And instead of like trying to maybe hide when she's on her period or whatever, I mean, like her toddler comes in, hey, mommy, what's that? What's, you know, oh, well, you know, that's the blood that if there was a baby, that would be the blood that would feed the baby. But there's no baby in mommy's tummy right now, so she doesn't need it. So it's coming out of her body and it doesn't hurt. It's fine. You know, it'll be over in a couple of days. Oh, okay. And the toddler walks right out. Yeah. It's, you know, but I mean, it's kind of just like approached as nothing taboo or shameful or just this is how our bodies work, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can do that to even a young child. I mean, as the situations present themselves, you know, little by little, I think that not being afraid of the conversation, mm-hmm. But doing it, you know, in a way where you're not maybe giving them too much information, but, you know, give them what they ask for or why they're, you know, but usually it's like one question and, oh, okay. And then they're okay for now. They're not asking for more, you know, maybe later as they get older, then they'll ask even more questions. But right now they're just asking for a simple explanation.
Yeah.
And the period genius talk, when do you think we should?
Period genius. Well, we want that decision to be in the hands of the mother, because I mean, some girls, I talked to a college girl yesterday, she said, you know, I started my period at 9, which was really early, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what was going on. And all I thought was that I was so dirty and that I was, this was such a mess, you know, and so I kind of carried that sentiment on for a long time, mm-hmm. until somebody told me different, mm-hmm. because nobody told me anything. And so our period genius, you know, it's like very colorful and it's short bits of information at a time to not overwhelm. Even a young girl at 8 or 9 or 10 could take our course and just learn the science of, in the anatomy of how her body works, and so that she just doesn't feel clueless or doesn't have the false perception of, you know, that something's wrong with her, but know that this is good. This is exactly what's supposed to be happening at this time. And so I think moms can gauge that if they see their daughter showing the first signs of puberty starting to grow and change, or if her friends around her have already brought up the conversation because their bodies are changing, then that's the time that's right for your daughter. But if she's hasn't started puberty and she's kind of on the later side of that growth pattern, that's totally fine. You know, you can wait and go into that more in-depth conversation later for her if that's what works for your daughter.
That's great. And it provides confidence. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm noticing as you guys are talking more, and just with own personal experience, like you have more confidence if you know more and ahead of time. So you're not like with your friends or whatever, and the girls, poor girls, are not aware of what's going on.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm a Creighton instructor, and even the engaged couples or the married couples that I meet that are in their late 20s, early 30s. I mean, I even see those women, like, I mean, when we explain kind of how their body works, I mean, I don't know why, or I mean, I do know why, but their first reaction is like, they have their husband, see?
Yeah.
I told you, you know, like that I'm awesome and that I'm wonderful and that there's nothing wrong with me. I think I'm okay just the way I am. Mm-hmm. It's like, but they had to wait till they were 30 something to acknowledge that they went through all their adolescence feeling like something was wrong with them. Like, no, that's not the way we want our daughters to grow up.
And that is very important. I think like Jackie said, we talk with a lot of college students with our clubs. We started Psycho Mindfulness Club to actually do that, to help college students learn the health and science, or the science and health of their cycles, with charting in a format of a support group. Mm-hmm. And those girls, most of them right now are Catholic, because that's where we do most of our recruiting initially. And they, you know, there is such a disconnect between kind of, oh, I should, my, you know, I think I, my God is my, you know, God's design is good. I should be glad with it. But personally, I don't feel it, because I have all these other issues going on. and it creates a lot, a lot of confidence, or loss of confidence, lots of issues, and the fact that they're bombarded with also others, the culture is really aggressive in this area, so it creates this kind of fear and stigma, and so like when they come into the clubs and start having conversation where it's a place non-judgment and a place where they can share their experience, it's just really empowering, very empowering, very beautiful.
You mentioned the culture, being bombarded by the culture.
Yeah.
How do you see, with what you've done so far, like, do you see there's a positive shift now towards this fertility awareness within culture, or do we still have a long ways to go? What were your thoughts on that?
I think within the groups that are privileged to be informed of this information, mm-hmm. yes, they see the benefits of it. It's very clear to see that, oh, my health is better, my relationship is better. It's not easy. I mean, it's like an additional routine that you get yourself in, right, of observing your body. But just like any other aspect of your life that you want to improve, like the glucose monitors are the thing
now,
right?
Yeah,
everybody wants to, wants to see, what the different foods do to their sugar levels and things like that. But I mean, they want to do it because they want to better their life in some way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is just another biomarker, but it's the part of our body that we share in relationship to others, because, it's our reproductive system, which is incomplete without another. Mm-hmm. And so, at first when, as a young girl, yes, you're learning how to self-care and how to love, the way your body's made and appreciate it and care for it. But then that translates into a relationship. Then, how should a man love you and treat you and respect you? And so because it's such an intimate part of who we are, I think that's why there's such benefit to it. But we still hear from our college campus girls that, there's Plan B in the vending machine, and there's definitely still, and so many of my friends, when I tell them, they're telling me the story about, I live with my boyfriend and I'm on birth control and here's all my drama from my life. And if I just say something simple, like, well, did you know you can only get pregnant 5 or 6 days every cycle? They look at you like, what? What are you talking about? Tell me more. Then they become so hungry with just a simple, fact that they've never heard before. Maybe they heard like I heard when I was younger, you can get pregnant anytime you have intercourse. And so be afraid, living in a state of fear of your own body and its own capabilities is, mm-hmm. It can be pretty debilitating, or can really hinder your relationships, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I think that's still there unfortunately, for a lot of women that don't have the benefit of this knowledge.
But you're laying that foundation with these young college girls, and that's amazing.
And it's very much a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Because they're small support groups, and it's intentionally meant to be small, because it's not, we're not trying to, like Gerard said the other day, we're not trying to raise up a bunch of advocates or everything. We're really trying to a place, for support where they can, kind of reflect on themselves and find healing and community. But it does become like a ripple effect, because then one of them's in a debate class, and then they debate birth control, and they're talking to their coworkers, and they're talking to their little sisters at home, and so it just kind of,
and they're equipped with so much knowledge. Because
mm-hmm.
you guys, I've looked at your website, it's very robust, it's incredible. So that's amazing. If you could leave our audience with kind of one key message about fertility awareness, about natural womanhood, anything, what would you kind of set the last message for?
To not be afraid to talk to your children about it. I mean, it is a beautiful gift from God, but He gave us our intellect to be able to understand it. And use that to make wise, prudent decisions, about our health, about our relationships, and so empowering your children, especially your daughters, but your boys too, letting them know. I heard a beautiful story from a parent. I'm sorry, this is probably too much, but if your son ever sees because there's lots of girls at that young age in middle school or even late elementary that. They start their period and they don't know what's going on, and maybe they stain their pants or something. You be that boy that goes and ties your sweater around her waist and walks her to the nurse's office. Protect her, even at that young age. I mean, so it's like there's the education for the boys too, I guess, and it'll make them wiser. It'll make them appreciate their own, the way God made their body more. So don't be afraid to have those conversations. And if you need help, we're here for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would encourage parents and couples that hear about this for the first time, maybe, or have heard about it, to not see this as, because I know a lot of Catholic couples think, well, this is birth control, and we don't want to deal with it. I think it's actually much more than that, and so to explore this option just for a number of reasons. But first is for the wife to understand herself, to know her body, and find ways to heal if it's needed. Just having this conversation and understanding, and for the husband, there is a rhythm to that. This way of looking at the marital act in a way that it's not just something that we do. There is really a more reason or seasons, and it builds a virtue in man in a way that ignoring that I think doesn't. So I think we really encourage. I want to encourage those families, those couples, to look at those methods in that way, rather than necessarily a birth control approach. Really, it's a knowledge approach. It's an enrichment, it's a marriage enrichment approach that is very powerful. We do have actually a study on our website at the bottom. If you look at the NFP study 2022, it's at the very bottom of the website. People can access that study. I talked to about 40 couples. About their experience. It's really powerful testimonials about the impact of using these methods. So naturalwomanhood.org is a place to go.
That's it. Yeah, you have your course on there. Is there anything else other than the course? And you have a lot of research on there. What else can our audience find on Natural Women's website?
We have guides. So there's for people who want to learn fertility awareness method or /NFP, we have a free guide for that, describing all the methods. We have a new guide coming up. It's already there. That's making sense of your cycle. So just like understanding the basics and what's normal, what's not normal, how to take care of the cycle in holistic ways, and information about the Cycle Mindfulness Clubs as well. So we just finished the recruiting of the students. We do that once a year to recruit students that are becoming leaders, mm-hmm. And so we're going to have about 25 to 30 clubs next year. We have 17 right now, all over the U.S.
All over.
So it's exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being on our show and sharing all this wonderful work that you're doing with Natural Womanhood. And we pray that it's got great success in the future and everything. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.